Welcome to Clinical IQ Drug Class Explainers, a series where we break down the most important drug classes in modern medicine in plain, practical English. I'm Sarah Mitchell, and with me is Dr. Anzal Corbain, pharmaceutical physician. Today we're tackling GLP-1 agonists, a drug class that has genuinely transformed how we treat both type 2 diabetes and obesity. Anzal, let's start with the basics. What actually is a GLP-1 agonist?
Thanks, Sarah. So, GLP-1 agonists. I should say up front, pharmaceutical naming is genuinely its own art form, and some of these drug names are spectacular. I'll do my best to be clear with the syllables, but I apologise in advance if I don't always nail them. So, GLP-1 stands for glucagon-like peptide 1. It's a hormone your gut naturally produces after you eat. It does three things. It tells the pancreas to release insulin to lower blood sugar. It blocks a hormone called glucagon that would otherwise push blood sugar back up. And it slows down digestion so sugar enters the bloodstream more gradually. So it's essentially a natural brake on blood sugar after a meal. GLP-1 agonists are drugs that mimic and amplify that effect. They bind to the same receptor as natural GLP-1, but last much longer in the body.
So the natural GLP-1 hormone breaks down quite quickly?
Very quickly, within a few minutes. The natural hormone gets broken down by an enzyme called DPP4. The GLP-1 agonists we use clinically are modified so the enzyme can't break them down, which is why some last 24 hours and some last a full week.
And that's where you get once-weekly injections like semaglutide.
Exactly, semaglutide. Brand names Ozempic for diabetes and Wegovy for weight management is the one most people have heard of. It's given once a week by subcutaneous injection. Then there's tirzepatide, brand name Mounjaro, is also given once weekly and actually works on two receptors, GLP-1 and another called GIP, which is why we sometimes call it a dual agonist, and it tends to produce even greater weight loss. Then you have liraglutide, which is daily, and dulaglutide, which is also once weekly.
So they all work similarly, but with differences in how often you inject and how potent the effect is.
That's a good way to put it. They all lower blood sugar through the same core mechanism. The differences are mainly in their duration of action, their potency, particularly for weight loss, and their cardiovascular evidence base. And that cardiovascular evidence is really what elevated this class from just glucose-lowering drugs to something far more important.
Tell us about that, because that seems to be the big shift in how clinicians think about them.
It was a genuine paradigm shift. The LEADER trial with liraglutide and SUSTAIN 6 with semaglutide both showed that these drugs didn't just lower HbA1c, they actually reduced the risk of major cardiovascular events, heart attack, stroke, cardiovascular death. And this was in patients who already had established cardiovascular disease or high cardiovascular risk. So suddenly, GLP-1 agonists weren't just a third or fourth line add-on for glucose control, they became a drug you should actively consider in any type 2 diabetic with cardiovascular risk, regardless of where you are on the glucose-lowering pathway.
And then the SELECT trial took it even further.
The SELECT trial was remarkable. It looked at semaglutide specifically in people who were overweight or obese, but did not have type 2 diabetes, and it still showed a significant reduction in cardiovascular events. So the cardiovascular benefit appears to be partly independent of the glucose lowering effect. It's driven by weight loss, improvements in blood pressure, inflammation, and probably direct effects on the heart and the vessels.
Let's talk about weight loss, because that's what most patients have heard about. How much weight loss are we actually talking?
It's substantial, and that's what makes this class genuinely different from anything before it. With semaglutide at the full weight management dose, clinical trials showed around 15% weight reduction on average. That's body weight reduction. With tirzepatide in the SURMOUNT trials, some patients lost over 20% of their body weight. To put that into context, the previous best we had pharmacologically seen was maybe 5 to 8%. So this is a step change. For the first time, we have drugs that come close to the weight loss you see with bariatric surgery.
And the mechanism behind the weight loss, is that just the slowing of gastric emptying?
Gastric emptying is part of it, but the bigger driver is central appetite suppression. There are GLP-1 receptors in the brain, particularly in the hypothalamus, which is the appetite control center. When you activate those receptors, patients genuinely feel less hungry, feel full sooner, and have fewer cravings. It's not willpower, it's a pharmacological change in appetite signaling. Patients often describe it as the food noise going quiet.
That's a really helpful way to explain it to patients. What about side effects? Because nausea seems to come up a lot.
Nausea is the most common side effect, and it's important to counsel patients about it up front so they don't stop the drug at the first sign of it. It's almost always dose dependent and tends to be worst in the first few weeks as you're titrating up. The key is to start at the lowest dose and increase slowly. Most drugs in this class have a standard titration schedule precisely for this reason. Taking the injection with food helps. For most patients, the nausea settles within 4 to 8 weeks.
What about the more serious side effects? Pancreatitis comes up in the literature.
It does, and it's worth putting into perspective. There is a signal in the prescribing information, and it's appropriate to avoid GLP-1 agonists in patients with a personal or family history of pancreatitis. But the population level risk appears to be very low, and large cardiovascular outcome trials with hundreds of thousands of patient years of exposure haven't shown a dramatic excess. The more important contraindication to know is personal or family history of medullary thyroid carcinoma, or a condition called MEN2, multiple endocrine neoplasia type 2. Because rodent studies showed thyroid C cell tumours with liraglutide, the clinical relevance in humans is uncertain, but it's a hard contraindication in the prescribing guidance.
And in terms of hypoglycemia, is that a risk?
This is one of the genuinely reassuring things about GLP-1 agonists, because their insulin-stimulating effect is glucose-dependent, meaning they only push insulin release when blood sugar is actually elevated. Hypoglycemia is not a meaningful risk when they're used on their own. The risk only increases if you're combining them with a sulfonylurea or insulin. in which case you'd consider reducing the dose of those agents.
What about kidney safety? There's been discussion about whether GLP-1 agonists protect the kidneys the way SGLT2 inhibitors do.
The evidence is building. FLOW, the renal outcome trial for semaglutide, published in 2024, and did show meaningful kidney protection, including a reduction in the composite renal endpoint. It's not as mechanistically direct as GLT2 inhibitors. GLP-1 agonists seem to work through blood pressure reduction, weight loss, and anti-inflammatory effects rather than the direct tubuloglomerular feedback mechanism of SGLT2 inhibitors. But the clinical message increasingly is that in a high-risk patient with type 2 diabetes, using both an SGLT2 inhibitor and a GLP-1 agonist together is often the right answer.
Speaking of combinations, how do they fit into the treatment pathway now? Because NICE guidance has shifted on this.
Significantly. For a long time, the pathway was metformin first, then add-ons and GLP-1 agonists came in quite late. The current thinking, and this is reflected in updated NICE guidance and ADA-ESD consensus, is that if a patient has type 2 diabetes with established cardiovascular disease, heart failure, or chronic kidney disease, a GLP-1 agonist with cardiovascular evidence or an SGLT2 inhibitor should be considered very early, sometimes even as second line after metformin, or in some frameworks alongside it from the outset. The emphasis has shifted from purely glycemic control to cardiometabolic risk reduction.
And for patients using them purely for weight management, without diabetes, that's a separate pathway.
Yes, in the UK that's accessed through specialist weight management services or via tier 3 obesity pathways, and patients need to meet BMI criteria. Wegovy semaglutide 2.4 milligrams is the licensed dose for weight management, which is higher than the diabetes dose in Ozempic. Mounjaro is now also licensed for weight management in the UK. There has been significant supply pressure on both, which has caused real-world prescribing challenges, but access is improving.
One practical question. Patients sometimes ask whether the oral form of semaglutide is as effective as the injection. What do you tell them?
It's a reasonable option for patients who genuinely can't or won't self-inject, but the bioavailability is much lower with the oral form, around 1%. So you need a much higher dose to achieve a comparable effect, and it has to be taken in very specific conditions. Fasting, with no more than a small sip of water, and no food for 30 minutes afterwards. The injection is more reliable for most patients, but that said, for patients where adherence to injections is a barrier, oral semaglutide is a clinically valid choice.
Final question. What's the one thing every clinician prescribing in this space should know?
Titrate slowly and set expectations clearly. The number one reason patients stop GLP-1 agonist prematurely is nausea in the early weeks. If you counsel patients properly, tell them the nausea is expected, it will settle. Start low and go slow. Persistence rates go up significantly. The drugs only work if patients stay on them. And for weight management, they need to be combined with lifestyle change, diet and physical activity, because when you stop the drug, the weight does tend to come back. That's a conversation to have up front, so patients understand this is a long-term treatment, not a short course.
That's really practical and clear. Thank you, Anzal. So to summarise, GLP-1 agonists work by mimicking a natural gut hormone to lower blood sugar, suppress appetite and slow gastric emptying. They reduce cardiovascular risk, support significant weight loss and have an emerging kidney protection signal. The class is now recommended early in patients with type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular or renal risk. Key side effects are GI and manageable with slow titration. And the main contraindications are personal or family history of medullary thyroid cancer, or MEN2. For more on individual drugs in this class, including SGLT2 inhibitors and how the two classes work together, that's our next episode. Thanks for listening to Clinical IQ Drug Class Explainers.